the superpower that we're going to briefly look at this morning. We're just going to unpackage it just a little bit. The superpower of invisibility. Have you ever thought of that superpower? I know I have at times. I thought, wouldn't it be neat to be invisible? Yeah, that would be, right? Yeah, I think most of us have thought of that. You know, if only I could be invisible. You know, I just people wouldn't know I'm there. I'd be able to, you know, do all kinds of neat things, maybe do some tricks, do something like that, pull a stunt on somebody or something like that. Only I could be invisible. But then I think that turns around to another side, because some of us feel that we are invisible. And so there's the thought, I think I am invisible. And along with that thought comes, I think no one cares. Or I think nobody even notices me. So at first we think it's really cool. And then this superpower of invisibility takes another turn to it. There's a superhero who has the superpower of invisibility, and that is the Invisible Man. I don't know how many of you have heard of the Invisible Man, but I remember as a kid reading some of the Invisible Man comic books. And later as I grew up, I found out that the Invisible Man, or that superhero, was based on the novel by H.G. Wells, The Invisible Man, written in 1987. The Invisible Man became part of the Marvel comic book series. And at first, the series seemed exciting. I read these comic books, and so I started to read them, and I was enjoying them. I remember that still. But then, as time passed, this character took on a darkness. And the superhero was unable to make himself visible. That's how the darkness came about. They were unable to make themselves visible again. You see, by accident, they turned into this invisible person. But then they couldn't turn themselves back. And the only way how they could make themselves visible was by wearing a trench coat, a scarf, a hat, and glasses. And so, because they could not become visible again, they couldn't really have relationship with anyone. And so this superhero turned into a villain. I believe it's going to come out in 2021 as a movie, and I wouldn't encourage you to watch it, okay? Because it has a very, very dark side to it. Invisibility. At first it's wanted, but then it's unwanted. Many people feel or believe that they would like the superpower, but then they find out it's not what they thought it was. Shepherds today and 2,000 years ago in the Middle East had the superpower of invisibility. When Pearl and I traveled the Middle East and other countries where there are sheep and shepherds, what we saw were the sheep. When we were in the Middle East, in Israel, in Jordan, we saw sheep all over the place. As we went through Turkey, we saw sheep through that whole area. Sheep, goats, very, very common. But we wouldn't see any shepherds. The sheep were visible, but the shepherds were invisible. And we had to look sometimes very hard to try and find a shepherd. They were there. They just blended in. They just disappeared. They were invisible. Shepherds at the time of Jesus were not the most favorable people. In Jesus' day, the shepherds were considered social misfits, thieves, religious outcasts. They were considered unclean and were not even allowed to participate in the temple worship. Yet of all the people, the first ones that hear the announcement that God has come to dwell with his creation are the shepherds. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. And we'll just read a couple of verses in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds, outcasts, unacceptable people, overlooked, ignored, possibly thought of as ignorant, stupid, unschooled, were the first to hear the gospel. The interesting part is not only did they hear the gospel, they embraced the gospel and they became the first evangelists. In God's eyes, no one is invisible. So even though the shepherds thought that they were invisible, they were not invisible in God's eyes. No one is so unimportant that they would be overlooked by God. Secondly, the invisible can become a villain. The invisible can become a villain. The struggle that exists between the invisible and the visible is real. Invisibility, the lie that you do not matter, that God does not love you or care for you, that is a lie from Satan. He wants you to believe that lie. There's a battle that rages in this world, that rages in the, we could say, in the invisible realm. But it has a profound effect on you and I. If we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17, we read there Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." Did you get that? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, we can believe the lies of the enemy that God does not care about us, that he does not love us. We can believe these lies through the way people treat us. We can believe these lies by embracing the thoughts of low self-esteem that Satan places in our minds. The thoughts that you don't matter. Or we can believe the truth that God loves us and that those around us are people who are hurting just like us, and in their hurt, they are believing the lies of the enemy and they are acting on those lies, hurting others so that they can feel better, but they don't feel any better. In fact, their world becomes a greater mess because they're allowing Satan to lead and guide them instead of God. We need to believe the word of God and put it into practice. And so Paul writes again to the church at Ephesus just a little bit earlier in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Embracing the Word of God, putting the Word of God in your life, makes you visible. So that leads us to the third point this morning, and that's God's invisibility becomes visible. God's invisibility becomes visible. Some people state that God Himself is invisible. Therefore, we don't know if God exists. I don't know if you've heard that argument. I have. How do we know that God exists? I can't see Him. Can you prove to me that God exists? And then comes the next phrase, "I don't think God cares." Many of us have heard that, and some of us have believed those lies at times. But it's not true. God exists, and God cares, and God loves you. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known." Jesus came to make God known. Jesus is the visible representation of God. God made Himself visible to us, to humanity, through Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 8 to 11, Philip starts, he says, "Lord, show us the Father." Isn't that a common thing we hear at times when we're talking to somebody about God? "I don't see God." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves." You see, Jesus brought God to the world. He made God visible. God revealed Himself prior to Jesus to the world around us, and He's revealing Himself even now in the world around us. He does this through miracles. He did this through His own creation. That as we look and we see the world around us, we are amazed. John Stott, though, adds to this. John Stott, a great English preacher, stated the following. He said, "That's wonderful, people say. But it was 2,000 years ago. Is there no way by which the invisible God makes Himself visible today?" There is. We return to 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. It is precisely the same introductory statement, but instead of continuing with reference to the Son of God, it continues, "If we love one another, God dwells in us." In other words, the invisible God, who once made Himself visible in Christ, now makes Himself visible in Christians. If we love one another, It is a breathtaking claim. The local church cannot evangelize proclaiming the gospel of love if it is not a community of love. When we as a church start living like Christ, the world sees God. God has and makes himself visible through Jesus and through you and I. We are the carriers of this superpower. It's the superpower of invisibility. It takes that which is invisible and makes it visible to the world around us. And the world around us is so desperate to see God. They have created an endless list of superheroes in this desperation. We, as the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, can show them the true superhero, the one and only, God. God doesn't want you to be invisible. He created you to be seen. And he wants you to impact your world with the love of Jesus. And that's the Christmas story. The Christmas story of the invisible. The Christmas story is a story of the invisible becoming visible. People who feel that they are of no value are declared of eternal value. And God, who is invisible, becomes the God of visibility through our lives. I want to encourage you with that and leave you with that thought as we continue through the Christmas season. I'm going to ask the worship team, they're going to come up and they're going to lead us in the closing song, Go Tell It on the Mountain.